Hello, it is week 10 in the NFL, and my name is Aiden.
And my name is Matthew. This is Pick Play, a football podcast. We are going to go through the slate of NFL games, give you our picks for who we think is going to win in each and every game, and why. And yeah, we've got some specialty picks we make, and those are crush picks, which are games that we think are going to be decided by 17 points or more. And then tough toss-up games, games decided by 6 points or fewer. So before we get into the week 10 slate of games, Aiden, give us a recap of how we did in week 9. And just as a reminder, we'll recap cousin Alex's numbers,
correct,
as well, since he joined us last week on that episode.
Yep. So last week I got 10 picks correct. You got 10 picks correct. Alex beat us both and got 11 picks correct. Crush pick, I got mine incorrect. I picked Baltimore to crush Indianapolis. They beat Indy 24-10, 14-point victory for the Ravens. You also got yours incorrect. You picked Pittsburgh to crush the Dallas Cowboys. That didn't happen as they almost lost, but they still won 24-19, 5-point victory for the Steelers. New England. Alex picked New England to crush the Jets. That didn't happen either, as New England still won, but it was only 30-25, very close game. The Patriots pull it out in the end. Still, Alex gets his crush pick incorrect. Tough toss-up games. I got mine incorrect, as I picked Detroit and Minnesota to be a tough toss-up game. Minnesota won 34-20, 14-point margin. That's not a tough toss-up. You got yours correct. You picked Las Vegas and the Chargers to be a tough toss-up game. That was correct. 31-26 final score. The Raiders won, 5-point margin. And Alex also got his correct. He picked the New York Giants and the Washington football team to be a tough toss-up game. That was correct. 23-20. Giants won, final score.
Yes. So, now we used to, and I haven't been doing it this year, and I don't really know why, but we used to do a thing where I would kind of give everybody like a running total of how we are doing for the entire season. So I'm going to work on that over this coming week so that we can start to update everybody on how we're doing for the entire season with our picks. But just, you know, just to kind of give everybody a little peek behind the curtain there. What teams are on bye this week?
We have the Atlanta Falcons, the Dallas Cowboys, the Kansas City Chiefs, and unfortunately we're missing out on the best team in football, the New York Jets.
Yes. So sad. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can self-reflect and finally fire Adam Gase.
They can't lose this week.
They can't lose this week. That is a good sign.
Exactly.
They can't win either. They remain winless. But anyways, we're going to talk about some stats as well as you like to break down these games. What statistic have you decided to focus on this week?
Points per game allowed with a ranking.
All right. And, there's the Thursday game. You know, everybody knows we record on a Saturday. We make our Thursday picks, and then we kind of let you know how we did. We both picked the Tennessee Titans. We both were incorrect, as Philip Rivers, his wife, and his 9 kids decided to get in their Chevy Suburban and just roll all over the Titans and your ego and your pride, just crushing you like a grape that you are.
I stand by the Colts being a bottom-tier team. I stand by it, even after last night. I think the Titans genuinely played the worst football we've seen out of them the entire season and all of last season.
The Titans are not as dominant on defense as they were last year, and their offense is a little bit flustered right now. People have started to figure out how to kind of not entirely stop them, but at least slow them down to a point where they have to put the game a little bit more on Ryan Tannehill's shoulders, and he has proven over the last 2 weeks that he's not necessarily ready for that. So I kind of disagree with you. I think the Colts are legit contenders for this division. I think it's between these two teams for this division, essentially. But we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. We've got plenty of football left, 7 weeks precisely. So we'll see. I don't know. Something to add?
The Colts defense is solid, and apparently their special teams is too, based on the punt block for a touchdown we saw last week. But their offense didn't do anything of note, in my opinion.
I mean, they picked apart a Titans defense, which most people had been touting in weeks prior. I mean,
right. And they played their worst defense they had in the past 2 years.
If you come at the Colts with a mediocre defense, you're probably going to be in for a long game. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying they're one of the best offenses in the league by far. I'm not saying that. I'm not just because, you know, I'm defending him a little bit doesn't mean I'm necessarily a huge believer in Phillip Rivers. I just don't like to, you know, poop all over his lawn like you do.
I mean, look, the Baltimore Ravens, they have a mediocre defense. It's nothing special, nothing to take note of, but it's also not bad. And the Colts put up a whopping 10 points against them.
Yes.
So how do you feel about that?
I don't really care because I don't work for the organization, but, you know, what are you going to do? Anyways, we'll move on to our first game of the Sunday slate. What do we got?
We have the Houston Texans at 2-6 heading to Cleveland to play the 5-3 Browns. Houston, 30.2 points per game allowed, ranked 29th in the NFL. Cleveland, 29.6 points per game allowed, ranked 26th in the NFL.
So, as you cough your left lung out,
yeah.
This is an interesting game because I'm not really sure that we even know how these two teams are, because Houston's actually playing better here in the mid to late season. I feel like their offense is starting to click. Their defense is shored up a little bit. They're playing better than the early part of the season. Cleveland Browns are so up and down. They're one of the most roller coaster teams out there. Now, they are getting Nick Chubb back, it looks like, because they just activated him off the IR. He's looking good to play, according to all accounts. Of course, you know, any kind of game time decision, you know, setback could change that. But how do you see this game shaking out, and what do you think of these two teams?
Look, I think that after they're a long time without Nick Chubb, the Browns have been doing very well with their running attack with Kareem Hunt. Getting Chubb back is just going to add to their dual threat that they have in that aspect of the game. And it should actually help their passing game, because now the dual threat of the running game is going to, you know, be able to make the defenses guess more and guess incorrectly more. And I like this Browns team. I think they're gonna be pretty good this season. On the other side of the ball, the Texans are, you know, they're okay under their interim head coach Romeo Crennel. They're nothing special, nothing amazing, but I don't know, they've looked more like they were like they looked at the tail end of last season nowadays than they did at the start of the season.
Well, the only thing that interested me about the Browns is the fact that they got absolutely handled last week by the Las Vegas Raiders. And I know that game was a little weird.
The Rams did not play the Browns did not play the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders played the Chargers last week.
Oh. Was it the week before that they played the... I don't know. Anyways... I don't know. I'm just making things up. In an alternate universe in the NFL, that'll be our new...
The Browns are awful.
That'll be our new podcast. Anyways, I just don't know who this team is. And from week to week, they seem to never live up to expectations. And I think that happens here again. I'm not going to pick them to lose the game because they are at home. And I think getting Chubb back is going to be a nice shot in the arm. But I don't think they're going to blow away the Texans. I think this is going to be a close game, but the Browns win at home.
I'm also taking the Browns. Moving on to our next game, we have the Washington football team at 2-6 heading to Detroit to play the 3-5 Lions. Washington, 23.5 points per game allowed, ranked 11th in the NFL, and Detroit, 30 points per game allowed, ranked 28th in the NFL. So Washington, what happened? What happened there last week? You kind of got handled by the Giants.
Yes. But the Giants are playing better. I mean, the Giants are definitely playing better in the last 2 weeks than they were in the first 5 weeks of the season. So,
well, the Giants in the first 5 weeks actually might shock you that they were keeping a lot of their games very close.
This is true, and that's I think the kind of the key is the fact that this team, as bad as their record is, maybe there's a few games out there that they could have won and should have won. But, you know, I don't want to get too much on a tangent with the Giants. So let's make sure we're talking about the Washington football team, and with them, I feel like their defense is really good, and their offense under Alex Smith with a full week to practice is actually going to be better than with Kyle Allen. Just for his veteran savvy, I feel like he's going to figure out a way to really kind of work this offense to his advantage. He's there for a reason, not just the major salary cap hit it would take to cut him, but also, you know, they don't make him the backup quarterback if they don't believe that he could actually come in and help them in case of emergency. And that's exactly what happened last week. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, the Lions still have, you know, so many deficiencies, and the main deficiency is in passion and game planning. And I just feel like it all comes down to the coaching. Matt Patricia is not the right coach for this team. I don't think he's a good head enough NFL head coach right now either. I feel like he's the same thing as Josh McDaniels, where he's not quite ready, you know, for the big job yet. And with that, I'm going to take the Washington football team to go on the road in Detroit and actually get a win, because I feel like they are, you know, the better team out of the two. And Ron Rivera is the better coach, and will find a way to get his team a win.
I think both these teams are actually fairly evenly matched. I also think that if Matt Patricia loses this game, he has potential of losing his job after this week.
Adam Gase.
Adam Gase should about be fired Adam by now.
Yeah,
that's a different story, though.
Yeah. They're not firing him. Clearly, no, they're not firing him during the bye week either.
Yeah, apparently not. Anyways, I like the Detroit offense more than I like the Washington defense, because Washington's entire talent on defense, in my opinion, is pretty much in their defensive line. The linebacking core is mediocre. Their cornerback core is probably lackluster, in my opinion. Their D-line is really the only thing that's good, and the Lions are not a particularly run-first team. They're a pass-first team. I think that plays to their advantage against the Washington defense, and I'm going to take the Lions to win at home in this one.
All right. Well, I've taken the Washington team. You've taken the Lions. We differ on our first game. Let's see what happens the rest of the week as we move on to our next 1 o'clock game.
Our next game is the Jacksonville Jaguars at 1-7, heading to Green Bay to play the 6-2 Packers. Jacksonville, 30.9 points per game allowed, ranked 31st in the NFL, and Green Bay, 25.5 points per game allowed, ranked 17th in the NFL. I don't really think that there's much to talk about here. One, I genuinely have no earthly clue how Doug Marrone still has a job. I don't understand.
I mean,
does it make sense?
Yeah.
Makes no sense. The Jacksonville Jaguars entire organization has gone down to shreds.
Well, I feel like it's now a decision of, okay, you're clearly rebuilding, so who are you going to have lead this rebuild? If it's going to be Doug Marrone, you want to keep him there. If it's not going to be Doug Marrone, what good does it do you to go ahead and get rid of him now and have this interim, you know, period where, you know, are you really auditioning an assistant coach? Or you want to try to give yourself that leg up? You want to start having conversations sooner than later? I don't think it does them any good to go ahead and fire him right now, even if he's not going to be the head coach, you know, for the future. I think Shad Khan and the Jaguars have a lot of thinking to do in terms of how they are going to build this franchise in the future. And it's not just about the roster, it's about the front office.
Speaking of head coaches, should we introduce the rule that was made this week?
That is
highly questionable.
Let's keep the podcast about our picks and not go into that narrative. You know, if you haven't heard, there's a new rule where if you end up developing a minority coach, you get compensated with draft picks. It's controversial.
2 third-round draft picks.
It's controversial, to say the least, but we will leave it there. I don't think it's the proper... I don't want to say anything too detailed, but I don't think it's the proper
way to address
reward or way to address the hiring gap in terms of minorities. I don't feel like, you know, yes, that is a problem. I'm not going to deny that that's a problem, that minority candidates are maybe not getting enough of an opportunity. But I don't think that's the right way to, you know, just the way that they were looking at getting picks to the team who hired a minority coach, and even minorities didn't like that idea. And I don't think they're going to like this idea either, but who knows? I wasn't going to talk about it. Talked about it.
We're both picking the Packers.
Yes, we're both picking the Packers. There's not much.
We're both feeling comfortable.
Yes.
About it. Tanking our way into our next game, we have the Philadelphia Eagles at 3-4-1 heading to New York. Or actually, no, they're not heading to New York. They're heading to New Jersey to play the 2-7 Giants. Philly, 25.6 points per game allowed, ranked 18th in the NFL. And the Giants, 24.3 points per game allowed, ranked 13th in the NFL.
Man, this is going to be an interesting game because the NFC is totally up for grabs.
NFC East.
NFC East, yes, sorry. I should be much more specific. The Giants, the Cowboys, and the Washington team all sitting with 2 wins, and Philly's the only one with 3 wins. It's so crazy to think that the Giants technically are still in the hunt for the division. Yes. All of those teams are, because the division as a whole is so bad.
Garrett Gilbert could lead the Cowboys to
glory,
to playoff
glory. So anyways, we talked earlier about the Giants improving, and I think they are improving a lot. The only thing in terms of this game, and the reason why I'm probably going to still pick the Philadelphia Eagles, although I haven't fully decided yet. Now I've kind of decided I'm probably picking the Eagles, is they are also getting healthier. Like, they're getting some of their top players back, and I think that's going to make a world of difference. In terms of this game's outcome, this game, how close it could be, how well the offense is going to play. Even though they are on the road, I don't feel like it's necessarily a huge detriment in that stadium that's empty and just utilizing canned crowd noise. So I'm going to pick the Philadelphia Eagles on the road, but I don't feel great about it because I do feel like the Giants are playing better and have the potential to definitely win this game.
I will say, the Giants have ended the season of Dak Prescott and Kyle Allen so far. Now they're playing one of the most injury-prone quarterbacks in the NFL. Just saying.
They could end the season for Carson Wentz, too.
Yeah, which would bring in Jalen Hurts, which I kind of want to see Jalen Hurts get in there.
I'd like to see how well he does as getting an opportunity. It'd be really interesting to see.
Of course, I wouldn't want to see him get an opportunity in face of a freak injury, but, you know.
Right.
Anyways, I'm taking the Eagles. I think the fact that they get Miles Sanders back is big. I think he's going to be a big contribution to this game, and I like the Eagles on the road.
And they're getting some wide receivers back, too, right?
DeSean Jackson.
I think so.
And Jalen Reagor.
Yes. So, I think this offense is definitely going to look a lot different than they have in the early part of the season. So it should be a good game. It should be a really good game. What's our next one?
Our next game is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-3, heading to Carolina to play the 3-6 Panthers. Tampa Bay, 22.6 points per game allowed, ranked 9th in the NFL. Carolina, 25.1 points per game allowed, tied for 15th in the NFL. Tampa Bay, Do you want to talk about last week, or should I just gloss over it?
I mean, I'll talk about it because I don't think it's going to happen again. Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, both in their solo history, like the history of their careers apart, have never really followed up stinkers like that with another stinker. So I don't feel like what happened against New Orleans is going to happen again here against Carolina. I feel like they're going to right the ship. They're going to see what I did there, because they're. Their Buccaneers ship.
So fun.
I know. Anyways, I feel like they're definitely going to work that out and figure out a way to get things right again, to get Tom Brady and that offense back on track. They need to figure out a way to get all of those players involved without it being forced. Like, that's half the battle, is Tom Brady cannot force it to one player. He needs to take what's open. The defense is going to get, you know, played better because, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers are no Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. So I'm not worried about that at all, even though they're on the road. I'm going to take Tampa Bay and feel really good about it.
Yes. Christian McCaffrey came back last week, and now he's out again. Yeah, injured again. Mike Davis is back. Mike Davis is back.
Yes, you said that.
With the reins.
Yes.
And, I don't think anything in this game bodes well for the Panthers. That being said, I don't like your take on the Buccaneers. I could easily see them, well, they're not going to get blown out back-to-back for sure, but I could definitely see them getting blown out again, you know?
Okay, but that's not what I said. I didn't say anything about them being blown out again. Yeah, that could certainly happen at some point in the season again. I'm just saying, I said they don't typically have another stinker right after the week they have. Like, they don't have back-to-back stinker games like that. Tom Brady doesn't have that very often. Bruce Arians hardly ever had that in his, you know, his tenure as a coach either. So,
and I'd be shocked if that happened for the first time against a lackluster defense in the Panthers.
Yeah, that defense is not that great. So with that, we're both picking the Buccaneers, and we will move on to our next game, which starts the 4 o'clock games.
Our next game is the Buffalo Bills at 7-2, heading to Arizona to play the 5-3 Cardinals. Buffalo 25.9 points per game allowed, ranked 19th in the NFL, and Arizona 22.5 points per game allowed, ranked 8th in the NFL. So a report as of this morning released that fact that Josh Norman contracted COVID-19. He's not playing in this game. Tyler Kroft was added to the COVID-19 list. Levi Wallace was added to the COVID-19 list. And Dean Marlowe was added to the COVID-19
list. Those last three guys are due to close contact with Josh Norman, who has tested positive. So they are going to be definitely depleted in the secondary of this game.
That is correct.
That can't make you feel good.
No, it doesn't. Especially against DeAndre Hopkins and arguably a top five receiving core in the NFL right now.
Yeah, Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, they're clicking on all cylinders. I'm not sure they're going to get Kenyon Drake back, but the running game is stout enough with
Chase Edmonds
there. And then, you know, listen, Kyler Murray is a threat. He is a threat. He is a threat just as much this year as Lamar Jackson was last year. And he's dangerous. And the Bills' defense has not been as stout as they have been in years past. They have played a little bit. They did play better last week, and I feel like that they could play better again this week. But that being that depleted on the secondary is going to hurt. It's going to hurt majorly. So they're going to have to figure out a way to get pressure on Kyler Murray with only four guys because they can't afford to blitz a guy from the secondary. On the other side of the ball, though, you know, you've got a Bills offense that's clicking on all cylinders and an Arizona defense that is not that, you know, not that great. They're good, but they're not that great. So I think this is a high-scoring game, potentially. One of those kind of like the Dolphins game with the Dolphins and the Cardinals last week. Whoever has the ball last probably has the best chance to win. And I would tell you that, before that news broke, I was probably leaning towards picking the Bills because I think they are the better team. And I think that they are, as shown last week, looking to take their destiny in their hands and make sure that people aren't deciding their fate. They're deciding their own fate. That's a maturity from this team and this coaching staff that I've seen over this past year and I've really liked. But I just think the late loss of Norman and some of these other guys is going to be too much to overcome on the road. And I'm going to pick the Cardinals at home to get a win.
Look, the battle between Tre'Davious White and DeAndre Hopkins is going to be some fun to watch. It always is. DeAndre Hopkins versus Tre'Davious White in the playoffs last year was fun to watch. And I don't see how it isn't this year. That being said, the Texans last year didn't have as many other receiving threats as the Cardinals do.
Yep.
That doesn't bode well for Buffalo. Look, I don't see any way that this game doesn't end in a shootout. It will. I think it's going to come down to who has the better offense, and I don't think defense is going to play much of a role at all. I think these teams are going to score on almost every possession. Maybe one turnover in the entire game. Maybe. But yeah, I think this is going to be easily both teams are over 30 points. And I think Buffalo has the better offense. I'm going to be real with you. Is John Brown out or is he playing in this game?
I think he's playing again in this game. He played last week and I didn't see anything of a setback for him.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs, John Brown and Cole Beasley against DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, and Larry Fitzgerald. Those are easily two of the best receiving cores in the league. And I do think that Buffalo has the better offense, and I'm going to take Buffalo to win the game. Hopefully, Zane Gonzalez pulls up short on a 49-yard field goal.
Yeah,
again.
I don't think that happens again. Let me tell you, the John Brown in the spotlight in return to Arizona. Yeah, it looks like he's going to play. John Brown, by the way. I think you're cool. Fine there. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, the matchup to watch. I think what could be awesome tape to watch as far as learning football and learning how to play great. Tre'Davious White against DeAndre Hopkins. That's going to be so fun to watch.
I just said that.
I know.
So you're reiterating it?
Yeah. Sorry. Well, just kind of like reiterating with the whole, like, it'll be a clinic, like putting on a clinic of watching tape and that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Before we move on to the other games, backing up to the 1 o'clock slate of games, Houston versus Cleveland, Washington at Detroit, Jacksonville at Green Bay, Philly at Giants, and Tampa Bay at the Panthers. Like, is it a Sunday where you can, like, not watch football at 1 o'clock? Like, there's no point in watching. Like, is there a game you really are interested in watching, or is it like sleep in, go to the 11 o'clock church service, and maybe go to the Sizzler afterwards and get a nice buffet? I don't know.
In 49 states, it's actually illegal to not watch football at 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you have to. It's like bound by law.
Gotcha.
That one state, by the way, it's Alaska, because it's Alaska. I don't know.
Yeah.
There goes our Alaska viewership.
I know.
Oh, wait. That's zero. My bad.
All zero of our Alaska listeners have now tuned out. All right, moving on to the next game.
Our next game is the Denver Broncos at 3-5 heading to Las Vegas to play the 5-3 Raiders. Denver, 27.1 points per game allowed, ranked 22nd in the NFL. And Las Vegas, 28.6 points per game allowed, ranked 24th in the NFL.
Ooh, boy, this is going to be good. An AFC West showdown, and the Raiders are for real. I mean, the Raiders are totally for real. A very good football team. And the Denver Broncos, man, when they play well, they play well. Like, but the problem is they've got stinkers in between and really, really bad play on the offensive side of the ball sometimes. Head-scratching to figure out, how they would be if they actually were healthy on defense, right? If they were fully healthy with Von Miller in that defensive, front seven, what would this team really achieve? To me, it doesn't really matter. I think the Broncos are going to go into, what do they call it? Not the black hole. It's like the spaceship or something.
It is the black hole.
No. Well, the black hole is what they used to call where the Raiders played their home games, but now
in Oakland,
what is that new stadium they gave it? Oh, the Death Star. They call it the Death Star. That's right.
Actually, it's not that room.
So I think the Broncos are going to go into the Death Star, and I think their chances for a W take a death. It's a little dark. Sorry about that.
I think their chances for a W get sucked up in the vacuum that is the Roomba. I'm also taking the Raiders.
Yeah. What just happened with the attempt at comedy there?
I don't know. Their stadium looks like a Roomba.
No, it doesn't look like a Roomba.
Yes, it does. Come on.
It looks like... Now I have to relook at it and see if it actually looks like a Roomba robot. All right, we're both taking the Las Vegas Raiders. We're moving on to the next game, which is another matchup. Interesting matchup. Rookie quarterbacks.
Yes. Our next game is the Los Angeles Chargers at 2-6, heading to Miami to play the 5-3 Dolphins.
You wanted to fast forward to the next game already?
Yeah. Yeah, I had already made my pick in my head, and I had already said everything.
Yeah. You have to do it again.
All right, run it back. The LA Chargers at 2-6 head to Miami to play the 5-3 Dolphins. The Chargers, 27 points per game allowed, ranked 21st in the NFL. And Miami, 20.1 points per game allowed, tied for 4th in the NFL. There's a stat that you could get used to seeing.
Yeah, man.
A top 5 defense.
I love that.
I'm sure you do.
Love it.
Do you think that the Chargers are going to blow another lead? Do you think it's going to happen?
I don't know. This Dolphins team is really good in all three phases of the not great, but really good in all three phases of the game. I feel like they are playing extremely well in all phases. I think the one thing that kind of falls behind is the offense. I think Tua showed a lot of promise. He came from behind last week, and he got you know, production when he had to have it, and they put the game on his shoulders, and he made it happen. So for that, I'm extremely happy, but he hasn't been doing it as long as Herbert has, even though it's still within the same season. It's both of their rookie seasons, but Herbert's been doing it for seven games now, whereas Tua is just kind of getting the ball rolling. Chargers offense scares me a little bit, especially because I feel like we've got some problems in our secondary as well. Lately and just actually it's not too much in the secondary as much as it is in the front seven. Defensive tackle Christian Wilkins is going to be out with this game because he is on the COVID list, and they actually confirmed today that he's going to be out, and so is Kyle Van Noy. So with those two guys out, I am a little worried about stopping the Chargers offense. I would have felt a lot better with them in there. Now, the great thing about the Dolphins is they have this, you know, like every team should have, but they really do like live by and execute it, a next man up mentality. And so I feel like that they can actually bridge the gap with the, both of those guys out, but they're going to have to figure out a very creative way to do so. You cannot blitz Herbert a lot in this game, I think. That would be to the detriment because he handles the blitz pressure very well. They need to find a way to get pressure with four. But then you put on the other side of the ball, the Chargers defense is still going to be without Joey Bosa, and I think that gives the Dolphins a chance. But you got to be careful of Ingram on the other side of the on the other side of the defensive line there, and he's playing extremely well, even though he doesn't have the huge numbers to go with it. He's impacting the game like majorly. So this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm going to pick the Miami Dolphins to win at home, just barely. I mean, I actually probably would pick the Chargers with those two defensive guys out, but I just have to believe in my Dolphins finding a way to win at home.
Look, the Dolphins have a stellar defense, as established before. The loss of those two guys makes it a less stellar defense, but stellar nonetheless, in my opinion. The offense has proved that it can hold up fort. It can hold down fort. And, on the other side of the ball, the Chargers' offense has proved electric, that it can produce, and it can produce enough to be able to win games, but their defense is what has been letting them down lately. You couple that with the fact that Miami has a good offense and defense, and the Chargers have a good offense and a bad defense. I think this bodes well for Miami, and I'm taking the Dolphins to win this game.
Yeah. All right. We're both on the Dolphins, which means we're on to the next game.
Our next game is the Cincinnati Bengals at 2-5-1, heading to Pittsburgh to play the 8-0 undefeated Steelers. Cincinnati, 26.8 points per game allowed, ranked 20th in the NFL, and Pittsburgh, 20.1 points per game allowed, tied for 4th in the NFL. I'm not going to hold back in saying that the Steelers are the worst 8-0 team to ever take the field.
I mean, last time I checked, you did not watch football games in the 1960s or 70s or 80s. So there could have been other 8-0 teams that were just as bad, and you just haven't seen it.
Okay, I'm still standing by the fact, because it's harder to imagine a worse 8-0 team than this one. The Steelers, they're good. I'm not gonna fault them. They're a good football team. But the past 2 weeks have come down to last-second victories where the other team has had the ball on the 20-yard line and had a chance to win the game. And one of those was against a fourth-string quarterback.
Yep, keep going.
One of those was against a fourth-string quarterback.
Yes.
Of an awful football team. They put up 24 points on arguably the worst defense in the NFL. Arguably. Mm-hmm. Arguably. The Dallas Cowboys are not a good football team, and they almost lost to a fourth-string quarterback.
So
I don't understand.
They for the entire tenure of Mike Tomlin's coaching career, as well as some of Ben Roethlisberger's career as well, this Steelers team has typically lost a game like that last week. Like, they right. played down to their competition, not necessarily looking past them, but just kind of played down to them. They're not hitting on all cylinders, and they typically lose that game. They found a way to win last week, which I think says something a little bit about the mental fortitude of this Steelers team versus, you know, years in the past. I feel like they're a little bit more banded together, and almost like this this season where things are different and COVID protocol exists, like they're finding a way to actually function better than they would in a normal atmosphere. But this has trap game written all over it. I mean, the Bengals offense is a good team. Man, they're dangerous. They're dangerous at times, and their defense is not good. But at the same time, if the Steelers are going to do a thing again where they kind of play down to their competition, they're going to be in trouble, because the Bengals defense is not so bad that they can't stop the Steelers if the Steelers aren't playing well. They'll figure out a way to get stops. This is a trap game, and I almost was going to pick the Bengals to win it. But it is at home for Pittsburgh, and I feel like that is a little bit of a saving grace for them. I'm going to give them a very, very close win at home against the Bengals. But this does have trap game written all over it, and I do believe that they have losses coming. After the Bengals, they face the Jaguars. There's a win. The Ravens, there's a loss. The Washington football team, there's a win. The Bills, there's a loss. And the Bengals at home, there's a potential loss there as well. So, you know, maybe if they eke out this win, they lose to the Bengals later. But be on alert, Pittsburgh. This is a game you could definitely lose.
Look, I'm a level with you. If the Steelers play last week, like they did last week, they're going to get blown out. If they score 24 points, they're going to get blown out. Because this Bengals offense, it's good. It's really good. And I could see them putting up 30 points against even the Steelers defense. And if the Steelers offense can't get anything going again, they're going to lose the game. And I'm going to take that to happen. And I'm picking the Bengals on the road.
I like it. Like I said, I almost did it myself, but last minute changed my mind. Last minute. All right, moving on to our next game, a NFC West showdown that's going to be really interesting.
Yes. Our next game is the Seattle Seahawks at 6-2, heading to LA to play the 5-3 Rams. Seattle, 30.4 points per game allowed, ranked 30th in the NFL. And the Rams, 19 points per game allowed, ranked 2nd in the NFL. So last week's bye week for the Rams couldn't have gone much better. They watched every single team in their division lose.
Yes.
Very good. Bode very well for the Rams. This is going to be a very fun game to watch. I can't wait for this game, personally. I like the Rams. I think they're a good team. I think they're a playoff caliber and playoff worthy team. And I think Sean McVay is a great head coach. The problem with this game for me, the only thing that's stopping me from picking the Rams is the fact that the Seahawks are coming off a loss by the hands of the Bills. It's hard to take a team that good. What?
Go ahead.
It's hard to take a team that good to lose back-to-back. I just don't feel good. I don't feel good about it.
That's a good point.
I'm going to take the Seahawks. Not going to feel good about it. I think this is going to be a good game. It's going to be fun to watch. But I'm going to take the Seahawks.
I'll tell you what, if the Rams win this game and the Arizona Cardinals figure out a way to beat the Buffalo Bills, you've got three teams at the top of this division all at 6-3 going into the last, you know, six games of the season. That would be really interesting. Interestingly enough, because the Rams are at home and they're coming off of a bye, I automatically was going to pick them. And hearing you talk about, you know, the fact that the Seattle Seahawks suffered a loss last week to the Bills makes me rethink that and go, and because I do agree, I feel like they rarely lose back-to-back games. The defense is starting to play a little bit better. That secondary is actually shoring up a little bit. And it's about time. I mean, it's about darn time. But the blueprint is out there. You know, the interesting thing is the blueprint is out there for, I think, the, you know, how to disrupt the Rams offense. And I don't know if the Seahawks have the personnel to be able to do it, because it's about really getting pressure with four and not leaving many throwing lanes open with a zone behind. And I feel like they can play that on the back end, but I'm not sure they can get the pressure with with just four. But Carlos Dunlap did make a difference last week for the Seahawks. I think he can this week as well, especially with another week in the system. I'm gonna pick the Seahawks on the road, but not feel good about it either. I literally switched my pick twice now. I was going to pick the Rams.
In back-to-back games.
Anyways, moving on to our next game, which should be easy to talk about.
Our next game is the San Francisco 49ers at 4-5, heading to New Orleans to play the 6-2 Saints. The 49ers, 23 points per game allowed, ranked 10th in the NFL. And the Saints, 25 points per game allowed, ranked 14th in the NFL. So the 49ers remain injury ravaged, and they remain, I don't know, like, their limbs are falling off at this point. I don't know. They're just, like, they're the most injury-ravaged team I've ever seen in football, like, in my entire life. And the Saints, last week, proved that they're still contenders against a previously thought incredible Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. I'm taking the Saints, and I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, same here. I mean, the Saints are the better football team. They're the less injured football team. They're at home. There's so much more going their way than it is for the 49ers, which kind of a lost season for them. I feel like they should just almost pack it in and just try not to let anybody else get
tank
hurt.
Tank for Trevor?
No, not tank for Trevor, but, you know, I think they're too far away for that. But I do feel like, they shouldn't put their stars out there to potentially get hurt. They need to be careful of that. Saints at home, not much else to say.
Our next game, the Baltimore Ravens at 6-2, heading to New England to play the 3-5 Patriots. Baltimore, 17.8 points per game allowed, ranked first in the NFL. And New England, 24.2 points per game allowed, ranked 12th in the NFL. I don't know what happened to the Patriots, gotta be honest. They barely beat the Adam Gase-led Jets last week, which hurt my brain to think about.
It's crazy. I mean, the team's just not nearly as good. They've got nobody out there on the offensive or defensive side of the balls that you're scared of. So
I don't understand. They won their first two games of the season. And then everything went downhill. Cam Newton was looking really good through the first 2 weeks, and then everything went downhill out of nowhere. I don't understand what happened. Cam Newton, since he got back from his bout with COVID-19, has not been playing nearly as well as he did prior to that, and I don't know what's happening. I'm taking the Ravens. That's all I know.
Yeah, they're not right. They're not right. I mean, they've got a lot of guys out, whether it be for, some of the guys opted out of the season due to COVID, some of their stars on the defensive side of the ball. Then they're dealing with some injuries. They're dealing with new personnel in terms of somebody at the helm who has to learn the offense. I mean, it's a different ball game. So the Ravens are the better football team, and they need to win games like this to make sure that they kind of stay in the running. For the race, for the playoffs. But I do think that they have started, teams have started to figure out the Baltimore Ravens offense, and they've started to prove my point that I feel like Lamar Jackson has not done enough to show us that he is a full quarterback yet, like a full, has all the tools in the shed kind of a guy. That is nothing more than a runner. So he needs to start showing that. You can't blame the offense, the offensive staff, for not being creative on play calling. You still have to execute. So,
okay, moving on to our next game. We have the Minnesota Vikings at 3-5, heading to Chicago to play the 5-4 Bears. Minnesota, 29.2 points per game allowed, ranked 25th in the NFL, and Chicago, 21.1 points per game allowed, ranked 7th in the NFL. Look, I think that this Vikings team is criminally underrated. Their 3-5 record, I don't think they deserve it. Dalvin Cook has been playing lights out lately. I will say that. He's I don't know about you, but he's been kind of my star player on fantasy football.
Man, he is good. He is good at football.
Yes, he is. It'll be really fun to watch Dalvin Cook against the Bears. We'll have to see who gets the better.
That's going to be a good matchup because that Bears defense is no joke.
Right. I think that if the Vikings and Dalvin Cook, if Dalvin Cook can do what he's done the last few weeks against the Bears, it's over. The Vikings are winning. But if the Bears can get the better of him, the Bears have a likely chance to win. I like the Vikings here. I'm not going to lie. I don't think the Bears deserve to have a winning record. I don't think they're good. I don't really think that they're a good team, especially on offense. They're going nowhere in the playoffs if they even get there. I really like the Vikings here, and I'm going to take them to win on the road.
I will say this. Out of the two teams that have like those dominant defenses, you know, we talk about the Colts and the Bears, and that kind of, you know, they both have substandard offenses. The Bears is much worse than the Colts. I mean, that Bears offense is brutally bad. There's nobody there that you are afraid of.
Allen Robinson, if someone could throw the ball to him.
Yeah, but nobody can. So it's one of those scenarios that I feel like this is just the Minnesota Vikings have really started to figure it out. They're becoming the team that we thought that they were going to be all along. And behind Dalvin Cook, that offense looks like it is going to stay
A-tier.
I mean, they're gonna be great. But this is gonna be a great matchup. I mean, like you said, cooking this offense against the Bears defense is gonna be really fun to watch. I'm also gonna take the Minnesota Vikings at home, but don't feel great, or at, on the road, but I don't feel great about it.
All right, all of our picks are in. We're done with the slate of NFL games, and we are free to move on to our crush picks and tough toss-up games. Yes. Crush picks are games decided by 17 points or more, and tough toss-up games are games decided by 6 points or fewer.
So as you look through the schedule there, what stands out to you as an option for a crush pick? I don't think there's a lot this week.
I don't think there's a lot. I think there's a couple that you could say are safe for sure, and I'm going to take one of them. I'm going to take the Packers over the Jaguars.
Yeah, I saw that coming a mile away. I am going to... Yeah, there's not a lot of other ones out there, so I'm going to take the other obvious one, which is New Orleans over San Francisco.
I thought you were going to go with Baltimore over New England, not going to lie.
No, because... I wouldn't put it past Bill Belichick to find a way to make that close. I don't know, like
that's fair.
I feel like he's going to do little things here and there to make sure that his name is still respected in the NFL coaching community. So, yeah. Anyways, we're on to our tough toss-up games. Games decided by 6 points or fewer.
There's a lot more options here.
Yes, there's a ton of options here.
Mm-hmm. I refuse to pick my Bills. Just because I don't want to. I'm not going to.
Yeah, I don't think you should.
I'm gonna take the Bengals and the Steelers.
I like that one. I really like that one, actually. I like the fact, you know, also because it's a divisional game, so I feel like that's gonna kind of help keep things, you know, really close. I'm gonna do something similar. And I'm going to pick the Seattle Seahawks LA Rams game as my tough toss-up game.
Another good one.
So we've got all of our our picks in, our tough toss-up games, our crush picks. We are ready for week 10, and we hope that you are too. Like I said, next week I'll try to have a full recap of how we're doing for the entire season. And keep an eye out. We're going to probably try to do some joint podcast stuff with some other guys that do things in the same realm of sports and football talk. So we'll keep you posted on those kind of adventures. But besides that, is there you got anything else?
Nope. Just good night and have a good football week.